Shaffrin.
Okay. Mechi Jankelowitz. Is he here?
He's only here on Tuesday, Thursday. He's in NYU.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, just, I didn't know that. I mean, I knew there was. Okay. Ezra Blaustein, Rafi Mandelstorm, Tzvi Erkowitz, Ariel Rosenzweig, Michael Gottesman. Okay. Ari Schwab, Tzvi Lowenstein. Okay. Ephraim Meff, David Stein. Are you here? Yoshua Davidowitz, Eli Steinberger. Is Eli okay? There he is. Ah, okay. You're usually like a little more up front there.
Yeah, no.
What? You're hiding? Okay. I don't believe it. You're too courageous for that. Noah Gardenschwartz, Ari Shapiro, David Zirkin, Ariel Schwartz, Ben Kendall. Is Ariel Schwartz here? I didn't see his... he's usually around also around that corner. Anybody know? Daniel Safir, also usually over there. No? Noam Fine. Oh, there he is. I'm sorry, David. What did I say? What did I call you, Daniel? I'm sorry. Noam Fine. Benji Berman. Benji Berman, okay. Gabi Spivak. Noach Lerman. Elio Lustiger. Daniel Tabak. No pig. You know for sure that there's not going to be a photographer today?
I was recording the shoot yesterday.
I hear, okay. Eitan Ben David. Akiva Block, Aaron Kulik, okay, Daniel Goldstein, Yoni Fox, Jonathan Cohen. Okay, that's everybody. Okay, anybody who's not here, just whose name I didn't call, okay, David Stein is here. Just let me know again so I'll have a better sense of who you are and what's going on. Okay, let's try to finish off as much as we can. Again, Yiddish is a very big topic. We're going to try to go through it as quickly as we can. Once we get through Yush, some of the other topics are a little shorter. We'll be able to go through them more quickly. But Yush is a very important topic, which is why I don't want to just make short shrift of it. I think it's a very, very, very important topic. Okay. Yoni brought to my attention that the language in Shidduch Kubetzes, who in Shidduch Kubetzes are we quoting?
Rabbeinu Yeshaya.
Rabbeinu Yeshaya and Samach Tes and Aleph, I remember the part of it also, the Mazik term. When he formulates Tosis on Samach Tes and Aleph, so he has two important shinuyim in terms of the language. One is that in terms of the first Lashon of Tosis, that Yush of Gzela is what our Tosis says is a Matana, the Gazlan. So again, what's the language of Rabbeinu Yeshaya? He calls it. He stays away from that language.
Right. He says in contrast to Matir.
What?
He refers to the Aveda as Matir, used by Aveda as Matir, and by Zela as a Kenyan.
As a Kenyan, difference between a Matir and a Kenyan, which again is a language of the. I think it's way back we talked about the Birchas Shmuel. Your language of Matir was about was you were trying to explain Hefker Rabbi Yossi and Glili as Matir. The idea of Yewish as Matir, we what?
I just wanted to throw the word in here.
I understand. But the truth is that the language of Yewish as a Matir, as opposed to Yewish of a Kenyan, happens to be the language, maybe that's where he got it from, of the Birchas Shmuel, which we did mention a couple of times already. But right, I know you use the language, but in a different context, so close. Okay. The second thing is that according to the second day of Tosis, which is that in Nachanami, even in Gzela, you require that it be Bershuska, the Bershusa Rabbim will not work, and yet there's an Iser to pick up the Chayfetz. So here he has the formulation, go ahead, of? He says, because it's like you're being Mazik, the Gazlan, if you were to pick up the Chayfetz that he needs in order to accomplish the Hashab. So I'm aware of this Lashon. That's what I was referring to. I was trying to, respond to that possibility a couple of days ago when I said that if you want to see it as a kind of, mazik or garmi, you should just be aware of the fact that it's pretty distant and that it's a lot closer to grama than it is to garmi and to mazik, and that gufa either means in a very expanded notion of that, or that gufa is only because there is some sort of Kenyan relationship. But I think it's an interesting interesting formulation.
It sounds like a classic case of Dover Hagoran Lumumba.
Well, it isn't Dover Hagoran Lumumba, really, is it? I mean, Dover Hagoran Lumumba means you have a chayfetz. Dover Hagoran Lumumba, I mean, in the classic...
Costs you money.
What?
Whose absence or destruction requires you to pay money.
Right, and you do something to that chayfetz. So you do, so the cheft, so that gives it the status of cheft to show mammon. And you do something to the chayfetz, you do some hezek to a dover agorim lamamon. Right, here we're talking about being zoche in a chayfetz, shall quasi hefker, quasi bailus. That's quite different.
The one is taking it away from the bailus.
Right, and they're saying, lo matzinu dover agorim lamamon kemamon dummy. In the context of making a kinyan on something, right. So I'm saying you would have to. All I'm saying to you is
more similar to the category of Dover Hagoran Lumumba, that it's an object whose absence and whose presence allows you to not have to.
It is and it isn't because it's not. It's not that you're doing something again. Classically, Dover Hagoran Lumumba Kamamun Dami says you have this chayfetz. It looks like it's innocuous, and therefore doing something to it would be innocuous. Except that. The consequences of doing something to it causes a loss, and therefore we view it as a cheftza shel mamon. That's normally. I don't want to get into garmi and grama and dover hagoran lumumba right now, but that's normally what it is. Here, that's not the case. Here, the point is, it's more of a garmi and a grama than it is a dover hagoran lumumba kamamun dami, because it's not that you're doing something to the chayfetz. It's just that by picking up the chayfetz, what you're really doing is something to the bailin. I mean, you're cutting off the avenue for him to simply return this this ban, which would have been an easy way out for him. That's a dover hagoran lumumba.
Well, you're saying it's only a question of being mafsid, but
I'm saying normally dover hagoran lumumba refers to bailus on cheftza, and here the cheftza part of it really is not the issue, because lemaisa you do have the right to be kona, so that's not the question. Just that by being kona, what you are doing. Is you are causing him, a $100 loss. You're diminishing his bank account by $100. That's not normally what Dover Hagoran Lumumba Kamamun Dami is. That's closer to Grumma and to Garmi. Okay. So these are two important haros. Again, both days of Tosa are very, very crucial, as we've discussed. Okay. The last thing we were discussing, what we want to move to right now, is the relationship between Yush of Geneva and Gezela, in light of, again, the Birch HaShemuel's formulation of Chaim Nesivas. I just want to sum that issue up before we move on to the next related point, which is, how do we paskin Yush Kedi Kani or Lo Kani? If we paskin Yush Kedi Lo Kani, so does Yush have any significance? What about Yush and Shina Rishos? That's what remains. By the way, if we don't get to it today, make sure that you've looked up the Piskei HaRambam. Again, you should have seen them anyway. I gave you the Riyush and Shina Rishus ones, but you should always look up the Rambam. So if you haven't yet, just make sure to have looked them up for tomorrow, when hopefully we'll be able to conclude all of this. The Rambam's in Hilchos Geneva, Perek Aleph, let's say Halacha Yud Beis, Tezayin and Yud Zayin. There's Aleph Yud Beis, Tezayin and Yud Zayin. The Rambam in Hilchos Gezela, Perek Beis, let's say Halacha Aleph through Tes. Just look through quickly. Some of them are easy, some of them are a little more difficult. Just get a general familiarity, especially with the Rambam Shita about being Kona Shevach, which we're going to touch on a little bit today, but I want to touch on a little bit more tomorrow. I'm not going to go into great depth into it, but the Rambam has some unusual Shitas, I think, that are connected to his general view. And then, of course, I already mentioned Hilchos Yisurei Mizbeach, Parakei Halacha, what is it, Zion? Also look at Hilchos Kalim. That's also flows from our sugi here on Samach Vav Midbeis. The Oros, Machshava Lahorid and Doras and so on. So that's, I think, the Rambam in Hilchos Kalim. You'll see it on the spot. Perek Chavdalet Halacha, either Vav or Zayin. I can't read my own handwriting. In connection with Yisurei Mizbeach, also look at Hilchos Maisa Karbonos, as we mentioned. Those are the two Rambams that come out of the sugya in Gittin, Nun Hamad Beis, which you should have read already. If you get a chance, also look at the Rambam's formulations in Hilchos Lulav and Shofar, when he speaks about Lulav HaGazel and Shofar HaGazel. So let's get back to Yush. Let's sum up for the moment the relationship between Yush, Gezel, and Yush HaVeveda, if Yush Kedi is Kani. Okay. So one issue is going to be whether or not they are the same. They are one and the same kinyanim. If you just read our Gemara in Samach Vav Min Aleph, as we discussed, since the makar in the Torah for Yush is an Aveda, and the Gemara is mistapek whether or not Yush Gzela works by comparing it to Yush Aveda, so that makes it very attractive to say that there's only one concept of Yush, the one that has the makar. The question is whether Yush Aveda applies to Gzela despite Yisuri Asa Liyado, and if the answer is yes, then it integrates fully as a Yush of Aveda. That's one possibility. Or, another way to look at it is that you can't get away from the fact that there aren't two Makoros, but there's perhaps another way to look at the whole thing, and that is, there is something called Yush or Aveda, but who says that it's really a din in Yush or Aveda? It's really a din in Yush that applies as well or in the context of Aveda. Torah's Mechadesh in the Parsha of Aveda, let's say, that there's a kinyan called Yush, but who says that it's Yush of Aveda per se? It's Yush, and as such, it might play out differently in different contexts, depending on what challenges it encounters and what obstacles it needs to overcome. In some cases, what assistance it has. So the fact that the makar happens to be in Aveda doesn't mean that it's a din in Aveda per se. Maybe there's just a kinyan yush that we know of in the parsha of Aveda, and the question is, how will it apply? Will it apply to Gzela? If it will apply to Gzela, maybe it's obvious that it'll be different in Gzela than in Aveda. If we had two psukim, that would even be better, obviously. Then we could speak about yush, Gzela, and Aveda. We might even say that yush is a kind of a chameleon kinyan, by which I mean that it is dependent upon its environment and framework. That Yush of Aveda is a din in Aveda, and Yush of Gzela is very much patterned after the needs and opportunities or obstacles, as the case may be, of Gzela. So that'd be just, I mean, we need to address that question, where's the other makar? And we need to address the question of the source in the Gemara, since the Gemara does say that we're equating or comparing Yush, Gzela, and Aveda. We need to be able to do that according to this second perspective, and I think that's the way that it would be done. Okay, so that's in terms of the Gemara, and of course, the factor of Yisur HaSaliyado, if we say Yush Kedi Kani because Yisur HaSaliyado is meaningless, then it's easy to say that Yush of Gzela is Midin Yush of Aveda, or that Yisur HaSaliyado applies to Aveda too, either of those ways, which is Tosis's way. If we end up saying, you know, Yush of Gzela is Kedi Kani, even though Yisur HaSaliyado wouldn't work in Aveda, and even though it does work in Gzela, so of course then it's more attractive to say that that the Yush of Gzela and the Yush of Aveda are two different dinim. So that itself is an interesting and an important question, whether Yush Kedi Kani B'Gzela continues to express the factor, continues to reflect the factor of Yisur HaSaliyado, or the point is that if Kedi Kani, basically, we're saying we don't care about that. If we do care, then Yush of Aveda and Gzela may emerge quite differently. Okay. That's in terms of the Gemara itself. Then we have the Ramban, and we had Tosas. Tosas Amach Tesa Min Aleph. So in the Ramban, it, I think, emerges as a debate between how you read that Ramban. I'm talking about the Ramban of Bava Metzia again. So the Ramban of Bava Metzia had said that in the case in Bava Metzia, that's the unusual case where it seems like you have a yush, whether in a context of Gzela, where there is no chiyuv tashlumin. Or the chiyuv tashlumin, at least, is not going to be nitak lase. And that's what the Ramban was trying to struggle with and trying to explain. So if we interpret the Ramban, I think, kipshuto, as, in that sense, I think the Birch HaShmuel and others, a simple reading of the Ramban, which is the Ramban is saying, well, here we have the unusual circumstance of a yush baveda without constraints, and a yush of gezela without its own kind of constraint, right? Because it's a yush of gezela without taking it out from the rishus habaylim, and of aveda where there's no yado ki yada shomer. So then the Ramban says, okay, so now we have two yushes to choose from. You have yush aveda, yush gezela going on at the same time. Yush aveda never is mechayiv tashlumin. So that would work well if that's the real pshat in the Ramban, and it sounds that way. So then that would work well according to the view that Yush Gzela, Yush Aveda are really two different Machayev. And that the Yush of Gzela is shaped by its own context. It's not that we're trying to obliterate the differences and discrepancies and then it becomes part of the Yush of Aveda. So I think a simple reading of the Ramban is that way. If we interpret like the Nesivus' reading of the Ramban, on this point, remember there were two Chidushim of the Nesivus and the Ramban. One had to do with Yush Pershus, which we discussed already. The other was that the Nesivus's suggestion was that the reason that there's no Chiyuv Damim is not because you're Kone, in this case, through Yush of Aveda. This Gazlan is Kone B'Yush Aveda. But rather because a Yush Gzela, which does not include Hotzam, Rishus Abaylim, is one which is not Mechayiv Tashlumin. If that's a pshat, so then it's not necessarily true that there are two different Yushes. Right? Even the Yush of Gzela has that potential. There's no reason to say for the Nesivus' reading of the Ramban that Yush Gzela and Yush Aveda are two institutions, two chaloses. So that's the Ramban. As for Tosis on Samach Tes Omer Aleph, which we spent so much time on, right, there seems like it's pretty clear that that there's a debate. In other words, the assumption of Tosis's question on Samach Tes Omer Aleph is that Yush Aveda and Yush Gzela are Hainu Hach. And if one is Potom and a Meisters, then the other one is. You could say no. I mean, you could say they're totally different, but whatever they share in common is still sufficient for the Ptur Meiser. Okay, I'm aware of that. But on the surface, at least, it's the... When you just read Tosis, the Muskal Rishon, the first impression you would get would be that there's no difference between Yush Gzela and Aveda, and that's why we're assuming, why we're projecting the Ptur Meiser, which we know from Elam Metzios, onto the Yush of Gzela in Perek Merubah. It's a good assumption. The assumption is it's one concept of Yush. And now if we look at the Terutzim, so according to answer number 2 and number 3, so basically we maintain that assumption. We continue to say, at least as far as the known dinim, that there isn't a real substantive discrepancy at all. There's no Ptur Meiser in the case of the Gemara in Samach Tes. Yeah, for different reasons, as we explained. Because there are some inhibitions that have to do with either Mazik, or what I was suggesting, this Mazik would only exist if there was some sort of Kinyanim. Whatever the case may be, that's not a limitation on the Yush. The Yush works the same way that Yush or Aveda works. Just the circumstances here, either because it's Hefker, La'aniyim, V'lo La'ashirim, or because there is some inhibition for technical and other reasons, extraneous reasons, that affects the Ptur Meiser. And we already discussed yesterday how one could have argued on that point as well. It depends on how you understand Hefker and Meiser and how strong the Kinyanim are, etc. The discussion that we had yesterday. But the Pashtus, answer number 2 and number 3 in Tosis, continue to maintain the equation, at least as far as these dinim are concerned, between Yush Aveda and Yush Gzela. On the other hand, Teretz number 1, which says that even Birshus Arabim, you will be the Gazel will be Kone B'Yush, B'Gzela, but not B'Aveda, and that's the reason why there's no Ptur Meiser, because it's more like a Hakna or a Matana than it is an act of Hefker. Well, that asserts a very strong difference between Yush of Gzela and Yush of Aveda. Now, again, can you still say, it would have been the same Yush if not for the tremendously powerful original Kinyane Hagazlan, which just preclude everything that comes after it? You might still say that. I think you could make that argument. I think it's harder to say that if you take Tosis's word for it, that it isn't midin the original Kinyan Gzela so much or completely, but primarily it's because the Yiyush is Matana Legazla, namely that it's a direct Kinyan. That the Yiyush itself gives it to him. If you say that, then I think it's more difficult to make that argument. Yeah.
No, that's what I was going to say, but I don't know if it's, I don't find it so difficult reading in Tosas. I mean, Tosas says, Vahavi Kimatana Bahama.
Right.
I mean, the point is that there's no
fundamental
stage here.
You're saying the result, not the mechanism.
Right. No, basically, what happens is that it ends up going from one rishus to the other without any passage in between. Therefore, there's no.
That's what I'm saying. It depends how seriously you take that that lot. If it's based on original Kinyane Gedeva or Gezela, I think it's a stronger. They're basically saying, you know, Yush makes it Hefker, but there's no one else to step in here. It's Mimela Bershuso, even though it isn't physically Bershuso, because of the original Kinyane Gezeva. So it just depends how literal you take that line of Matana. If it's a Chafa Dimyon, it may refer to the result. If you're more comfortable with that, Matov. If you take it more literally, which I think just instinctively I do, so then I think you have to say that what Tulsa is saying is that Yush Gzela, Yush Aveda are really quite different in a significant way. Okay, so far we have the Ramban, we have the Makar question, and the Limud and our Gemara, which we can explain two ways. We have the Ramban, the Mesivas way, and the regular way. We have the two deos in Tosis, which, as I say, I think you can get out of it for each dea, but it's very, very conceivable, very reasonable to say that these are the two deos in Tosis on Samech, Samech Tes Amid Aleph. Okay. What else? So then we had Tmura, right? That's what I mentioned at the end of yesterday's shiur, that in the Gemara in Tmura, the Gemara tries to prove Yavid Mahani from Gzela. And the Gemara quotes the Mishnah of Shinui. And Rav Chaim had the Ha'ara, how come we don't prove it from Yush being Kohen? I think that's very interesting. But again, as I said yesterday, I think there are enough holes in the argument, not in the argument, but in the proof. As a proof, there are enough holes that no one's going to lose too much sleep over it. Number one, Yush Kedi Kani, everybody agrees Shinui Kohen, not everybody agrees Yush is Kohen. As I said, number two, maybe the raya isn't from Kinyan Gezela at all. It's from Kala Gazlanim Mishamim Keshasa Gezela, like the Shita Mekubetzis and Rabbeinu Gershom interpret. Number three, this raises another important question. Even if the raya is from the Kinyan, the question is, what is the raya? Is the raya that Shinui is a Kinyan Gezela, and that's its Mahani? That's the way that who read that Mishnah, that Sugya? Who read the Sugya that way? That the proof is from the Kinyan of Shinui itself. Anybody remember?
The Nesivos.
Excellent. Rafi's correct. The Nesivos. The Nesivos and Simin, Lama Dalid, right? Both, you know, the Nesivos' attack against the Xos on Tabra Vishasya. So he says, Shinui Kona is the equivalent of Tabra Vishasya. And he says, Viharaya, the Sugya in Tmura. But the way he read the Gemara in Tmura was, the Shinui is the Gezel. The Shinui is an independent Gezel. So that's how the Sivas read the Sugya. But the simple reading of Rashi is probably not that way, but rather, Rafi? The Shinui neutralizes Hashava, and the Kinyane Gzela from the original Maisa Gzela are what are really Koveya. And if that's the case, so then we have another question, and that is, the question isn't only whether Yiyush is a Kinyan Gzela or a Kinyan Aveda or something in between. The question really is, or the question additionally is, whether or not, just as in Shinui, the Yiyush works off original Kinyane Maisa Kinyane Gzela, or it's an independent Kinyan Gzela. So that would be important for Tmura. Tmura reads better if you don't read it like the Nesivos, frankly. Tmura reads better if the Maisa Gzela, itself, Lo Sigzo, is Koveya Kinyanim. So that even if I were to say that Yiyush is a Kinyan Gzela, as long as I were to say that, but Shinui is not just a Kinyan Gzela, it's a Kinyan that works off of the original Kinyan Gzela, it would still be better to bring a Raya from Shinui than it would from Yiyush. And the truth is that Reb Chaim in the Chibur, which I'll just read the line I was talking about yesterday in a couple of minutes, is also sensitive to that distinction, to the distinction between Shinui, Kona, and Yiyush. Kona, even if Yiyush would be about Gezela. Reb Chaim himself says it, as I'll read in just a minute, the second formulation in the Chibur, at least. So that might be what's Koveya for Tmura, not necessarily Kinyan Gzela versus Aveda, but Kinyan Gzela independent or Kinyan Gzela working off the original Kinyanim. And that's exactly what we were talking about a second ago when we were talking about Tosis on Samach Tes Amid Aleph Dea number one, Kimatana. What does Tosis mean? Does he mean Yiyush is like a direct Hakna from Nigzal to Goslin, or does he mean once you've eliminated or you've relinquished your Taina and Hashava, Mimela, that's what's left. And it's a completion of the original Kinyanim, that's really what's going on. Okay, so the Raya from Tmura, I think, is open to question. On the other hand, what about the Raya from our continuation of our Gemara? Ezra, you want to just... Ezra back there? There he is. Just, right, if you read the next couple of lines very quickly, if you don't mind. In the bottom of Samach Vavim Aleph to Samach Vavim Beis, Gemara's Koveya, Esve, right? The last, second line from the bottom? Right. Oh, so he's asking, what's the question? The word? Why don't you say, if there's a case where the chepetz is not worth anything, so there should be yiush, and if there's yiush and yiush was kona, so then you shouldn't be able to say reisha chalafanecha, right? He would have to say bum dumim boishlume, right? Okay. So the question is based on the assumption that yeush will be kona in this case, correct? And what's the Gemara's answer? Meaning? Oh, exactly. So you need das kona. So this Gemara establishes that that yeush requires das kona. Okay. This Gemara has to be looked at in light of the other Gemara. Where's the other Gemara? You mentioned this in the past, Zvi. A parallel Gemara in Gittin. Right? Aaron? What's the Gemara talking about there? Parallel Gemara in Gittin? Same discussion, pretty much. But, Jonathan? Gemara Michael?
Isn't it where he wants to pick something up, but not to acquire for himself, but to acquire it for someone else?
No. That's a different issue. What? No. Try to think of the Gemara about Ari. You have there? Joe? The Gemara about Shinui, right? The Gemara talks about Hezek, Sheno Nikar, whether Shema Hezek or Lo Shema Hezek. The Gemara says, Masiv Rav Papa, Gozal Mabeya Benifsal Truma Benitmeis Chametz Varvalava Pesach Omer Lo Haresho Chalafanecha. Right? Again, same exact issue. Right? You steal Chametz Varvalava Pesach, you can say Haresho Chalafanecha. Exactly like our Gemara. So the Gemara says, where do we see for B'i Amras Hezek Shein Anikar Shmei Hezek Hai Gazlan Hu Mamona Ba'alya Boi Shlumei. Exactly the same Shakla Vitaria. If you hold Hezek Shein Anikar Shema Hezek, so it should be like Shinui Kone, right? And we had the Gemara in the first man. That's why I only asked people who were here the first man. Hezek Shein Anikar is the equivalent of Shinui Kone. So how does he get away with saying Resho Chalafanecha? So the Gemara says Tiyufta, and then the Gemara says Lema Katanai. So the Achronim point out that the Gemara seems to be satisfied with this question. That's the Gemara does not say what it says in the context of Yush. In Yush, what does the Gemara answer? What kind of raya is that? The reason that there's no kinyan is because of he has no kavana liknos. He'd be crazy to want to have ain't kinyan bal korcho, ain't kinyan Yush bal korcho. So therefore, it's no raya. But there, the Gemara didn't say. There's no raya that Hezek Shein Anikar Shema Hezek, and that's considered a shinui because he just the reason that he could say whatever is because he's not interested in being kona. So the Achronim say some of the Achronim are medayik from here. The Nesivas we saw last Zman we read inside the Nesivas says it explicitly. Later Achronim also comes to this conclusion. Rav Chanan Wasserman and others. that the discrepancy between these two Gemaras proves that Shinui works even Keneged Ratzon Hagad. It's an important issue. The question, however, is why? What does it prove? So if you hold, number one, it's a diuk based on what the Gemara doesn't answer. I mean, you can always say, yeah, v'litamech. I mean, we'll find somebody who asks this question who will say, in Achanami, they could have given this answer. Okay. But there'll be people who will say that Shinui is not Kona Balkarka, unquestionably. Okay. But even if we assume that the discrepancy is correct, so what is the significance now of this discrepancy? So basically, those who advocate splitting Yish Gzela and Yish Avaveda, so they have to always look to, one would think that they have to look to Shinui as the alternative model, right? Because if it's not a Kinyan Aveda, so it's a Kinyan Gzela. If it's a Kinyan Gzela, then we should look to the other Kinyan Gzela, and that's Shinui Konim. So what do you do with this discrepancy? That's going to be a problem. Okay, so firstly, if you say, this is what we mentioned this last semester in this context, if you say like Rav Chaim and like Rav Velvel, right, so then the whole question just doesn't get off the ground to begin with. Okay, what do I mean by that? Correct. And that?
Not all of them are quoted about Karachol.
Undoubtedly that's true, but even but more to the point is, in this Gemara,
there's a Shinui. There's a Kinyan Shinui, and then there's a Kinyui Rishos, which is... There are two different types of Shinui. One is like...
Kinyan, and what's the other one?
The other one's more... It helps along the Yeish.
No, forget about the Yeish for a moment. We're talking about just on the Gemara and Gittin for a second. Now, what we discussed in the first semester... Namely, there, according to Reb Chaim and Reb Velvel, both believe that, as Shitas HaRambam anyway, that there's a difference between, Noah? Yeah. That there is something in between Shinui Kona and saying Harei Shechol Afanecha. There are certain Shinuyim which don't qualify for Shinui Kona, but they do qualify to eliminate the ability to say Harei Shechol Afanecha. The Kevitz has changed enough that you can no longer say Hei Shivas HaGzela Shagazal, it's Kein Shagazal. But that doesn't mean that there's Kenyan. We discussed all the ramifications of this. I mean, so there are other Rishonim who will say there's no such thing, because that's what Kenyan Shinui is all about. The second that you can no longer have a Chiyuv or can no longer get away with Hashava, then the original Kenyanic Zela flood in and win the day. Fine, so we discussed. I'm not going to get back to that. But if you hold that that's so that is a simple way to read the Gemara in Gittin. In Achanami, if we were talking about Kinyan Shinui, just like when in Bava Kamma we're talking about Kinyan Yiyush, you're never going to prove Yiyush, you're never going to prove Shinui Kona, just as you're not going to prove Yiyush Kona from this particular halacha, right? Because it would be a Kinyan Bal Karcha, and he wouldn't want it. And Shinui is not Kona Bal Karcha either. No difference between Kinyan Yiyush and Kinyan Shinui. However, that's not what the Gemara is talking about. If you accept this pshat in the Rambam, what the Gemara is really trying to say is Harei Shechol Afanecha. So in Yiyush, the only way to say that there's no Harei Shechol Afanecha in Yiyush is to say Yiyush Kona. But in Shinui, you could say there's no Harei Shechol Afanecha even if you don't say Shinui Kona. There's this in between category. What we care about in the Gemara there in Gittin is not Shinui Kona. It's Harei Shechol Afanecha. So as far as that is concerned, what do we care if it's Bal Korcho? Kinyanim, that he should acquire the chepetz, of course depends on Bal Korcho. But the whole point of our Eshel Chal Afanecha is there's not sufficient tziruf between the chepetz on Ganuv, or Gazol, and the chepetz in its present state. You can't say Eshel Chal Afanecha. So if you hold that really is the pshat and the view of the Rambam, that there really is this in-between category, then this raya, this discrepancy is gone. So basically, either we could say v'li tameich, and the Gemara could have said it, it's one way out, or you can't say that, but for a totally different reason, namely, this sugya is about Harei Shechol Afanecha. But on the other hand, the other way to say this is to say one of two other things, and that is, In Shinikona, in Ochanami, even the Shinikona part, not just the Reisha Kolofanecha, Shinikona is Bal Korcho. The reason Shinikona is Bal Korcho is because it's a Kinyan Gzela. But Yish is a Kinyan Aveda. And as a Kinyan Aveda, that can't be Bal Korcho. A Kinyan Gzela can be Bal Korcho because, as we've explained so many times, the whole idea of a Kinyan Gzela is, you know, seemingly philosophically and legally problematic. What do you mean? You guys, which is what Abaye was trying to prove to Rava in the first place, right? You, namely, you're stealing something, it becomes yours. You're violating his bailus and you actually succeed. But the answer partially is yes, and maybe the part of the reasoning is yes, because it has to be Bershuska, Leinyan Chivones, right? In order to be fully responsible and accountable, it has to make the transition to Rishus. So maybe there is a Kinyan Bal Korcho if we're talking about a Kinyan Gzela. We don't treat Kinyan Gzela just as it's weaker and sometimes it's stronger because it's competitive and it's not consensual and it doesn't derive from the Das Makne of the real Bailim. Right? It derives from the objective actions of the Gazlan. So in Ochanami, maybe it could be Bal Korcho. But a Kinyan Aveda is never going to be Bal Korcho. And that's Gufa, the distinction. That would be one way to explain the discrepancy. Here, like we said before, there's another way to explain the discrepancy. And that is, maybe both Yiush and Shinui are Kinyane Gzela. However, there's still a huge difference between them. And that would be if Shinui Kona is based on the original Kinyane Gzela, eliminating the obstacle, namely of Hashava. But Yiush was a matana between the Gazlan and the, or a kinyan between the Gazlan and the, between the Nigzal and the Gazlan. Namely, it was a second stage kinyan, not the completion of first stage Maisa Gzela. We might say in that Gufa, there's a difference between Kinyan Gzela of Yiush and Kinyan Gzela of Shinui. Kinyan Gzela of Shinui, we don't care whether it's Birtzono or not, because the Maisa was Birtzono, and that's the real Dabar HaKohen. But if Yiush is a Kinyan Gzela, albeit a Kinyan Gzela of stage 2, not a completion of Maisa, so then it's very, very conceivable that even if it is a Kinyan Gzela, you would still require Das. Yeah.
Maybe it's just a third option that if we held strongly that Dvarim Shalev Enam Dvarim, that when, in the case of...
Dvarim Shalev Enam Dvarim, mean the... Well, I mean, we also know, I mean, we learned this in June last month, but we'll say the Rov Rishonim were certainly of the opinion that, if not all, that an Umdana Demuchach, that's accepted by all people. I mean, nobody wants Chametz Shavar Alav HaPesach.
Right, but...
Either way, the Gemara is assuming that in Bava Kamma, so why not assume that in Gittin? Right.
Okay.
I mean, right? I think it is a good assumption. Okay. It's interesting that we have a similar question. Here it's a question of Bal Korcho. What about a question of Bli Kavana? What's the difference between Bal Korcho and Bli Kavana? Can you have a situation of Bal Korcho and Bli Kavana? Let's say a person doesn't know that he's a Gazlan. Let's say he actually might want to steal the Chavetz Chaim as a Gazlan, but he doesn't want to be a Gazlan, but he's stealing something accidentally. Let's say a person steals something unwittingly, and therefore he has no das for kinyane, geneva or gazela, let's say. Although, it might be a fine thing to acquire. Now, the problem in the Gemara in Gittin and in Meruba is that the acquisition is of a cheftza, which has no value. Right? Chametz Shavar Alav HaPesach, etc. What would happen then? Would there be, now this is a general question, in kinyane, geneva, gazela, we're talking about shinui and yiush now, is there a halacha that you require das? Or at least that it shouldn't be a kind of misasek or shogeg? Who talks about that? Bartov?
Well, similar to the writer, the instruction of das of the writer.
No, not really, because that's, I mean, because they're all, yeah, okay. I mean, you're right in the sense that he's not interested in a long-term kinyan. That's true. That's true. He's not interested in a long-term kinyan, but he is interested in doing what he's doing. You're right. I mean, You're correct. Or you mean Shoshul Amidas, or Amanas La'abed, or Amanas La'meka, those cases, in a way, where you do a Maisa Gzela, let's say, but you have no kavana long term to keep it. But that's still a little different. You're right. I mean, we'll get to that in a second anyway. But that's still a little different than what I'm asking now, because at least there you want to do what you're doing. Now, Dior Shol, no one twisted your arm, or you're not walking around in a fog, and you happen to do Shol Shalomidas or Almanas Lahabed or Almanas Lameka, right? I mean, whatever it is that the Gzela is, if Shol Shalomidas is a Gazlan, you're miscaving to do that. That's a little different than an accidental Gzela. Well, where do we have such a thing? Michael, right?
Yeah. Okay. The Bala Mora and Kofi Balam Elf talks about Betos also Yade.
About Betos also Yade. Okay, good. And give me even a more, concrete example of something that we just read. Jay? A circumstance that we're, very familiar with now. You're right, that could be one. That'd be similar. A toast. A Xela Betos, exactly. Dovi?
Yes,
Rishus. Yesh Mishin Rishus for the if he's really a god. That's a little bit.
If you don't have his god.
Right. Is he really a Goslin or is that something else? Right. So let's leave that for a moment. Yesh Mishin Rishus. Maybe it's a long shot, but it's not. But a classic, regular Joe.
I like which case? The one on
Samach Tes. Samach Tes Aleph. What happens on Samach Tes Aleph again? We're talking about these very fine, upstanding aniyim, right? Who just didn't learn Zrayim, so they don't know that. Shocking, that leket is only two, right? So they take three, and the question is that unwittingly they're gazlanim. We should try to save them. From a meister's point of view, we should try to save them. From a gzela point of view, we should try to save them. That's Tosa's question. If it's Yiyush and so on and so forth. So the part of the whole basically analysis of Tosis is assuming that there is kind of a Gzela going on here. Right? Tosis says it would be Yiyush of Gzela. Now they did want to keep the Chafetz, but they just weren't aware that what they're doing was an act of Gezel. Correct? So who points this out? Tosar Ben Peretz, correct. You have it in front of you? Anybody have Tosar Ben Peretz in front of them? This is Tosar Ben Peretz. Come on, I think I have it in the back here again. Tosar Ben Peretz, Samach Tes Amud Aleph. This is a very interesting issue, and definitely connected to what we're doing. It's exactly that case. One second. Avalamanda Amar, he says in the bottom after his whole whatever. Avalamanda Miyushkidi lo kani bigzela nicha. Avalamanda Miyushkidi kani bigzela kasha. The tirets bishita, the nehi de miyaish, mikomakom ein moel klum. The chiyam rinan yiyush kana hanimilizem is yaish vizerotaliknos. Quoting our Gemara, and samech vav amid beis. Aval hacha zem misyayish v'zeina rotza liknos. Shari eina niyim miskavnim liknos yoser mileket. U'bishkoga himalaktim yoser. V'lo mezidim heim. Hilkech lo ganovim v'lo gazlonim heim. Hilkech lo kani biyush. Now again, this is a classic, because what's he invoking? Our Gemara. But it's not exactly comparable to our Gemara. The question is whether it's sufficiently comparable. The Targumar is a case of no one is going to want the Skefetz. You have to force the Skefetz on people right? It's chametz shavur al peds, since he can't do anything with it. There's no value in it. So here we're saying, you know, that yish, even if it's koneh, but not keneged ritzon. But actually these people, they want the extra leket. They just don't want it as gzela. Yeah. If what?
If they knew it was
a sale,
they might not want it.
Right. I'm just saying it's you know, it's kind of a... On the other hand, we're trying to protect them, right? Gzela shogeg. Maybe they would want it. They just wouldn't want to do gzela's maze. I mean, but you're absolutely right. They might not... Let's assume they're good. Yeah, great. But I'm just saying it's different than our Gemara. It's an important extension. Do you need das just because you can't? Well, let me put it this way: it could be the in-between case. Do you need das for kinyan yush or kinyan shinui? Let's stick to yush for a moment. Do you need ka das for kinyan yush, or it just shouldn't be bal korcho in kinyan yush? Yeah.
There's also a question: I think
you've
shown if you can have yush bal korcho of the nigza or the neva.
Well, I think it has to do with the defin more with the definition of yush. I think it does a little bit. It depends on the extent to which, again, it's a metzius of kinyan, or we consider him to be a makne in some way. That's if you say matana, take literally the line of Tosus in a way that you have a kind of hakna from the nigzal to the gazlan, then you might say, well, then the regular dinim of das kona das makne should apply. Whereas if it's more, again, it's not such an accurate description of the mechanism, and it's more lemaisa, he loses hope, he loses control, you know, he loses interest, he relinquishes his bilus. That's more of a metzius, then it could be that that doesn't depend on das at all, except to the extent that, you know, maybe he's not really messiahish. That's a different fact. I think that's the issue would be. So the Rabbeinu Peretz is no other Rishonim, including Bali Tosis, don't give this answer. Like, maybe we'll speak more about it when we get to Samach Tes, but this is an important extension, an issue. So just to sum up, the question of Bal Korcho, you have the Gemara here. You have the parallel Gemara in Gittin and Gimel and Beis, so the Gemara doesn't give the same answer. That in itself raises the question. Either you could say, fine, they didn't give that answer, but they could have. We have plenty of precedents for saying, you know, Havale Lameymar or, you know, Hayacha Lameymar, for those kind of things. There is no actual discrepancy. Even if there is a discrepancy, it could be because if you hold like the Rambam, as Reb Chaim and Reb Elbel understood it, the sugya there is not about kinyan at all. It's about a reish chalaf lenecha. That would be another way out. If indeed the silence there is important, and you view the sugya there as being about shinui koneh, not just about a reish chalaf lenecha, we have a seeming discrepancy. Even then, it can be explained in two ways: either the difference between yush aveda and yush gzela, or the difference between yush gzela of the original Kinyan Gzela or Yiyush Gzela of Phase 2. And then we just pointed out that in addition to that, this question of the role of Kinyanim in Gzela, so right, I mean, Baruch Dov is correct and so on, that we find it in other places too, where we're simply not Miskavein Liknos, but that's a situation where he's not Miskavein long-term. That's the Shol Shalom Midas, that's, I say, Amanas La'Abed, Amanas La'Mekat, all of those examples. But this is a little bit of a different case. Namely, what about a gazlan b'shogeg, essentially? Is he, does he have kinyanim, or would you say it's a chisaron? You might say gazlan b'shogeg lo shmo gazlan for other reasons, but from a kinyan point of view. So that's what Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz on the Sugen Samach Tes Amud Aleph invokes our Gemara and Samach Vav Amud Beis. There certainly is room to be mechalek between Bal Korcho and Shelo B'Kavana. Or Shelo B'Kavana, there is a Kavana's kinyan there, just Shaloba Kavana Batoras Kinyane Geneva or Gazela. And that too might very much depend on how Yush is working, how Yush is operating. Yeah.
Just another case to add on, which is sort of discussed, is what happens if somebody picks up an Aveda with Yeh Shalomidas, but he thinks that Yeh Shalomidas.
One second, he picks up an Aveda.
Which had Yeh Shalomidas.
Okay.
He thinks that Yeh Shalomidas is Kona.
Well, the guy thinks Yeh Shalomidas
right.
is Kona. I mean, he did go to the Zeroyim Shir, but he didn't go to the Bar Mitzvah Shir. So then what would happen? What?
He doesn't know it's one of the Agagam.
Could be that, too. Could anybody, that's, you know, I'm not sure you bring a parallel Dharmashal Tzibur on such a thing or not, but you know, I hear. So that would be a similar, example. Very good. And then it would be interesting to test whether we're mechalek between Yush Ramaveda and Yush Gezela. Okay, so Freyden's case is actually quite interesting too, right? A person makes a halachic error about Kinyan Yush Baveda. Would that be the same as making a halachic error about Kinyan Yush Big Zela? Okay, very good. Okay, getting back to, so we have several issues already that we're confronting. Then, of course, comes Karka, Avadim, and Shtaros. So Karka, Avadim, and Shtaros, the story goes as follows. We know the Karka and the Gzelas. Yeah?
Well, the
Vinyan
part says that the Karka Bala Winzel.
Say that again?
The Vinyan part says you require Karka Bala Winzel. It's
right.
Dafka in the context of Yush.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in Samach Tesam and Aleph. I mean, he doesn't. I mean, it could be that he would say Hua Dinlin and Shinu, but what he's talking about is Samach Tesam and Aleph, is the Aniyim, and he's responding to the same question. You know, if there is Yush in this case, so how is Hefker of the Tznuin going to help you? After all, he's already Kona Al Yidei Yush, and that's where he says, no, not really, because since they don't know that they're Gazlanim, they're not Kona B'Yush. And again, Tosas assumes that that's not correct. I mean, obviously, Tosas is not giving that answer. Tosas is saying, well, it's according to the Man, this isn't Stam Yush, or it's according to the Mandamar Yush Kadilo Kani. But in Okanami, had it been, Tosas seems like they disagree with Tosar Ben Peretz on this Nakuda. So it's in the context of Yush. What Tosar Ben Peretz would say about Shinui is not clear. Again, you'd have to make some sort of reference to the Gemara in Gittin and Gimel. But I'm assuming that it's limited to Yush. Certainly, that's the context. Okay, what about Karka, Avadim, and Shtaros? So this we saw a little bit already from Chaim and the Sivas. Let me just sum it up a little bit more for a moment. And that is, we know that Karka ain't an exelis. As for Avadim and Shtaros, the question is a little bit trickier. So when we say Karka ain't an exelis, what does that... what impact will that have on the ability to say Karka is subject to Yush? Is a Yush Bekarka? Right. So, right. So if there's no Yush Bekarka, no one's going to lose sleep over that. Right? It could be for one of two reasons. Right. Number one, Karkin and Exelis. And if we assume that Yush is a Kinyan Gezela, whether it's of the original Mice Gezela or the stage two variety, either way, Karka Eina Exelis. Even if we were to conclude that Yush is a Kinyan Aveda, it would still be pretty easy to say that Yush is not subject, Yush doesn't apply to Karka, because we might say that Karka is Eina Nevedes. Right, not just Karka Eina Nigzelis. The question is, what does Avud really mean? Right. Okay. The trick will be how the Rishonim actually formulated and whether there are any exceptions. Okay. So as for exceptions, we know two. One is the Bali Tosis quote, this Yerushalmi in Kilayim. Tells us in Sukkah, quotes Yerushalmi and Kilayim, that Yesh Yush Bekarka. Tells us in Bava Basra, Daf Mem Dalid, says if Avadim are subject to Yush, then Karka is subject to Yush. Okay, that's an equation which is interesting too, but that's what Tosa says. So Bali Tosas have views based on Yerushalmi or their own conclusions in some cases, that Yesh Yush Bekarka. If you say Yesh Yush Bekarka, it's next to impossible to say that that it's a Kinyan Gzela, because Karka ain't an Gzelas. Indeed, the Rajbam in Bava Basra says that Yush doesn't apply to Karka, because Karka ain't an Gzelas. Rashi and Sukkah in Sugya Daf Lamed, wants to prove that Karkas ain't an exelus in the Sugya of Avankari, in that also, yeah? And so Rashi says, how do I know the Karkas ain't an exelus? After all, ain't Yush Bakarka. So it's the opposite. In other words, Rashbam proves ain't Yush Bakarka because Karka ain't an exelus, and Rashi proves that Karka ain't an exelus, Viharaya ain't Yush Bakarka. But either way, the equation in both Rashi and the Rashbam is that ain't Yush Bakarka because Karka ain't a Nigzelis. On the other hand, if you look at Tosfos Sukkah Daf Lamed, originally Tosfos Sukkah Daf Lamed also assumes Ein Yush Bekarka, but Tosfos says the reason for that is because there's no Shinu Rishus. That's a different explanation. In other words, it sounds like what Tosfos is saying is that Karka is Eina Avud, Eino Avud, and therefore it can't be Mishana Rishuso. You can't move it, and that's the reason why there's no Yish. Not because ain't an exalus. Sounds like Tosis, unlike Rashi and the Rashbam, each in their own direction, is saying that the problem of Yish Bekarka is a problem of Aveda, not a problem, per se, of Gzela. Now, Zlu Yitzuria, it was, you know, subject to Shina Rishus, to being Avud, then in Ochanami, it might be applicable to Yish, Kinyan Yish, as well. Certainly, if you hold, like Tosin Baba Basra and the Yerushalmi and Kilayim that Tosin Sukkah quotes, that there is Yush Bekarka, as I say, you certainly have to take the conclusion, come to the conclusion that we're talking about Aveda and not a Kinyan Aveda rather than a Kinyan Gzela, even if we're talking about Yush of Karka Nigzelas. In addition to that, we have the Nesivas, which we already mentioned. The Nesivas says that the definition of avud is defined by Rabbi Yochanan's halacha, zelafi shene shalo, zelafi shene brishu. So that's how he understood the Ramban in Bamitzia Chavav Mudeis, that same Ramban, right? His view is, the Ramban has this principle of ein yush brishu so. So what's brishu so, what's shalo brishu so? That becomes all the questions, which is why the Ksos thought there's no such klal even for the Ramban. And the Sifas' answer is, there is such a klal, but the definition of Rishuso is defined by Rishus for Rabbi Yochanan and Gezov Lonus Yosho Bailim Zelavishen Shalom Zelavishen Rishuso. That's what defines it. Fine. If that's true, says the Nesivos, right, being exceptionally clever, Sifas says, well, if that's the case, then I can find you a case of Karka, which is Shalom Birshus, or which is Avud. Because there is a case in which it seems like Rabbi Yochanan's halacha, Zelafi Shena Bershuso, will apply to Karka. Namely, based on the Gemara in Bava Metzia, and we'll discuss this when we talk about Rabbi Yochanan more fully, but the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Dav Zayin Ben Aleph, Davar Shena Yachal Hotzio B'dayanim. If it's Davar Shena Yachal Hotzio B'dayanim, even if it's Karka, maybe it's considered Ena Bershuso, and you can't be Makdish such Karka. So the Tzivah says, if that's really true, namely, that there is a case of avud in Karka, then yesh yush bekarka. Betoras aveda, and that's a definition of avud. So that's the story on Karka. Was the question? Yeah.
In theory, couldn't the Rashi and the Rambam be really like Tosos, and they're just using each, you know, each one of the way, but with the highlight.
But why say?
Meaning, Rashbam, you choose the word Karka because anything sells. Anything sells shows because it's always where it is. So that's not exelus, and that's also why.
Well, anything exelus doesn't just mean the Pashtos. Anything exelus doesn't just mean that that's always where it is. I mean, unless you say the reason for Karka anything exelus is because it's not avud, as opposed to being a din in kinyanim. I mean, you would have to say that too. That's an additional assumption. But if you say the only reason that Karka is anything exelus is because there's no maisa gzela, because never avud, then it's all, we could say it's all one and the same. If there is some additional halacha of karka and exelus, which, for example, affects shuas apikadon, applies to shuas apikadon too, according to the sugya in shuas daf lamed lamed zayin, right? Right? Right, and they just to take a shvua. You could take a shvua. I mean, that's a separate question about, you know, ainish b'ayim ala karkos, but that aside, that isn't the issue there. So let's assume, if we assume that there is a din of karka, you know, or shinui, and so on. I mean, if we assume that there's a kinyanim halakha of karka and exalas, then it's not correct. If you assume that all there is no maisa, then you could be right. Then all these things mean the same thing. But I think it's likely that there is that second halakha. Now, that's as far as karka is concerned. As far as avadim are concerned, so that we know, that's much more controversial, right? That's where we have shitas. Yona, famous shitas. When it comes to avadim, yush b'avadim. That's if kark. The hardest nut to crack is kark. If karka has yush, wow, that should be even as an aveda halakha, it shouldn't be so. And that's what we're trying to explain. Right. But avadim is much easier than karka to explain yesh yush b'avadim. Afilu she'en yush b'kark. Who holds that way? The yesh yush b'avadim. Ari. The Raivad, excellent. The Raivad in Perek Tesach was Gzela Halacha Aleph, as we know. The Raivad was trying to explain a very interesting halacha. We discussed it already. Why it is that Kilu Yachefetz, if the evidence is completely destroyed, you can't say Reisho Chalafanecha, it seems. But if there's a regular Shinui, even the kind that normally would be Shinui Kone, you could say Reisho Chalafanecha in Avadim. And yet in Karka, you could say a Reishah Chalafanecha no matter what. So I had different suggestions for this, to explain this Raivad. But among other things, the Raivad quotes, after all, he says, Yesh Yiyush Ba'avadim. Right? Quotes after the Sugyan Gittin, Yesh Yiyush Ba'avadim. And since, Lafikach, since it's Yiyush Ba'avadim, it's different for this other halacha too. That's the short form of the Raivad. So, as Reb Chaim tried to explain, what is going on here? What does Yesh Yush Bavadim have to do with this din, which isn't about Yush at all, but about Kilui? Either way, one thing that emerges clearly is the Raivad seems comfortable with Yesh Yush Bavadim. Implicitly, the Raivad is saying, Ein Yush Bekarka. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a very good Raya for the Chiluk that he's trying to make between Avadim and Karka. So, how could that be? So the answer is, it's not too difficult to imagine at all. We had a huge discussion at the beginning of the year about the status of Avadim in all sorts of areas, right? And that's when we touched on this already. In other dinim of Gzela, the Rif's Shita, the Ramam Shita, what about Arno and Shvua, and all sorts of things. Not difficult at all. So Tosus in Bava Basra that says that, you know, if Avadim are Yeshi Yush, Vaharaya, the Sugyan Gittin, and Karka as well, is assuming that they're identical. But what are you going to do with that Sugyan Gittin if you don't hold like the if you hold that Karka is not subject to Yush? You're going to end up saying what the Raivad says. Namely, the difference between Avadim and Karka. Why is there a difference between Avadim and Karka? So here, in theory, one could have said one of two things. Like one could say that even within Gzela itself, there is a difference. And that even though there are no certain kind of kinyanim for Avadim, there is at least a Maisa Gzela, and maybe even Miksas Kinyanim, some kinyanim. After all, you could do a Maisa Gzela on Eved. It's movable. Right, it doesn't have the same physical limitations as Karka. Even legally, there's a difference between Karka and Avadim. I should just add, by the way, in the Shiurei Rav Chaim Alevi, which came out a few years ago, I was looking at it the other day, so like the first piece talks about Avadim Hukshul Karkos. It has some interesting things. It talks about whether or not you should be Mechalek. It parallels something that we suggested, but he says it a little differently. That whether you should be mechalek in avadim hukshul karkos between the nignav and the nigzal, as opposed to the cheftza. The cheftza, you never say avadim hukshul karkos. It's only vis-a-vis the bailim that you say avadim hukshul karkos. It's interesting. It helps to explain certain things. Okay, it parallels the distinction I was trying to make about whether avadim are a cheftza or a gavra, and I was trying to suggest that might be shot in the Rambam to different way to explain the Rambam's in Perek Gimel and Perek Tes about his kino and shinui. Well, what is a shinui for an Eved? Okay. Anyway, so this is the issue. This is the problem. So in this issue, we have the discussion of Reb Chaim and the discussion of the Sivas. So one could be mechalik within Gzela itself. There's a vice Gzela. One could take it a step further and say that if Yish is a Kinyan Aveda and not a Kinyan Gzela, then we might say Avadim Einam Nigzalim at all. Avadim Mukshul Karkos is absolute. But the fact is that it could be Avud, even if it can't be Guzzled. Even if you were to say there's no Maisa Gzela for some technical reason in Avadim, you still might say, you can't deny that it's Avud, so let it be a Yish Betar Zaveda. So this is what Reb Chaim basically says. Again, in the Mipia Shmua, the way the Rav used to quote it, I'm a little puzzled here, because the way I recall it is I think that when the Rav quoted this, he brought in the notebook that they had of Reb Chaim Shiurim and Velazhin, and I think he quoted it from there. And I remember it being a very striking, clear formulation. The reason I'm puzzled is because this Sefer, Shiurei Reb Chaim Halevi, on Bava Kama Bava Tzvi Bava Basra, is supposedly that notebook, but I don't find it in there. So either I just can't find it, or there's another notebook, or I just remember it wrong. But either way, this raya about Tmura and this explanation of the Ravid that it's a Kinyan Aveda, that's what he, I thought, read from that notebook. But I don't see it in the Sefer of the Shiurim. In terms of the Chiddush Reb Chaim Halevi al-Rambams, I mentioned yesterday, the formulations are a little bit more subtle. He has two of them. In neither of them does he actually say that Yush of Gzela is Midin Yush of Aveda. What he does say, he has two different formulations that go as follows. Panir Lomer Bazeh, the Shiny Hach Kinyana de Yush, Mehach Kinyana de Shinui. And these are the two. The Shinui Iker Kinyano Hu Kinyan Shel Gzela, Hu Midinim Hu Amurim Bigzela. Mash Ein Ken Yush, Iker Kinyano Eno Din Kinyan Shel Gzela. So far, so good. But he doesn't say what it is. So he does not actually say, although I think it's very close to saying, that Kinyan Yiyush Bigzela is a Kinyan Aveda. What he really says is that it's not a Kinyan Gzela. It could be that it's some neutral Kinyan. It's a Kinyan. The fact that it applies to Aveda shows you that it's not a special din. It doesn't operate with the dinim of Gzela. That's what he's saying. Again, it could be just semantics, and this is undoubtedly what he meant. He just doesn't actually ever say what I recall hearing read, and which the Nesila says explicitly, which is that Gzela, as far as Kinyan Yush is concerned, is just a form of, it's the mitzius of Aveda. It doesn't say that explicitly. The second answer is even more distant, and I think it's very important for what we've been discussing. Ode Shlomar, the Choluk Din Shinui Midin Yush. The Bishinui Hare Shinui Mitzanatzmo Lahava Kinyan Klal. The Lava Shinui Hushagorim Liknos is a Chayfetz. Rak Mi Kinyan Gzela Hushakonoso. The kacho exeris akosav dashava to benishtanes ve'ena be'en shegazal damim be'alma ba'yishlume. Basically, what he's saying is shinui is not a kinyan gzela in the sense of phase two, the shinui being a kinyan gzela like the nesivas. Rather, shinui is the mitzius that allows the original kinyan gzela, the maisa gzela, to win. The shinui itself is nothing, just that it, Lamaisa, neutralizes the obstacle. V'alkein b'avadim denim nigzalim v'leis bukinyan gzela mimeno l'shayichu shini klal. Because shini is not going to help you since there are no original kinyan gzela to do the trick. So even if there's a shinui the Eved, it still won't help you because it's not the Shinui, which is a Kinyan Gzela in its own right. Mashen can be Yush. Here he doesn't say that it's Aveda at all. Hare etzem ayush hu dover hamoil umahani kemo hefker. And Reb Chaim's terminology is always very challenging, but it's undoubtedly intentionally challenging. So, hare etzem ayush dover hamoil umahani kemo hefker. Yush works. And it works in a way that reminds us, or that is reminiscent of hefker. It isn't hefker, but it works. But it's not kinyan of Aveda either. V'alkein shapri moel ze gam ba'avadim de'enam nigzalim. Da'yush haray moel sheyachil, again that moel again, sheyachil behem din kinyan shelo b'toras gzela. In both cases he's telling you more what it's not than what it is. De'en ze shayach klal od l'ha de'enam nigzalim. El de'gam l'fitei rudze mukrochem anu lomar da'af api de'en avadim nigzalim b'komokom mais gzela ispu. This is important for him, because he's not really trying to explain the Ravid Shita that Yesh Yush Bavadim. What he's really trying to explain is two things. One is Yesh Yush Bavadim, the Ein, Apapi She'enam Nigzalim, the Apapi She'en Karka Yush. That's one, or one A and B. And he's also really trying to explain Lefikach and the Ravid, what this has to do with Kilui, which is what we discussed already. So that's why it's important for him to say that there could not be a Yush of Gzela in Avadim, even if it wasn't Midin Gzela, if there wasn't also Maisa Gzela. Dilav Hochei Arelekeb Hu Chalos Din Shol Yiyush Klal Kiv Narehen B'Shus Bailim L'Gabi Yiyush Habin An O Maisa Gzela O Maisa Veda. Again, if we're to take the language precisely here, it's clear that the second formulation does not believe that Yiyush is Dafka a Kinyan Aveda. It's basically something that Gezel and Aveda, it not being Birshuso, have in common, that it's an effective kinyan paralleling hefker. Ulfizari nichagam kein hada chalukan avadim mikarka the bekarka lamahani yush mishum deinu nixalas ubavadim no ma'is nixal afagav deinu nixalim mekamakom yush mahani bahu. And so again, you can continue to read it. It basically repeats the same. So he does the two formulations are either it's not a kinyan zela at all, and it has to do with kinyan aveda, but doesn't necessarily say that Gzela is Aveda. Or, I say the second formulation is that the key is to contrast to Shinui, not Yiyush. It's not that Yiyush is a Kenyan Aveda at all. Yiyush is a Kenyan. Shinui is not a Kenyan. Shinui is the completion of original Kenyane Gzela. The Nesivas is much more explicit. The Nesivas says that both Bekarka and Ba'avadim and Bishtaros, undoubtedly, would have said the same thing. Gzela is a form of Aveda, and that's what we have here. We have Yush of Aveda. Yeah.
What's he doing in the end when he's tying it in with Maisik Gzela as a Maisik Nezik? I mean, when he's putting them together,
That's not our topic right now.
No, but because, I mean, isn't that telling, though, about
no.
What?
That's why he needs your point is correct, but that's what I was trying to explain a second ago. The reason that it's so important for him to tell you that even if Yiyush is not a Kinyan Gzela, that there is a Maisa Gzela Bavadim is to get that transition. We see from Yiyush Avadim that there is a Maisa Gzela. Once there's a Maisa Gzela, that's the Mazik part of Gzela, and that does apply to Avadim. But I don't think it's relevant to how Yush Avadim works anymore.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not just trying to deflect you. I really think the answer is no.
Okay.
I think that he's just... the first answer might have been, in Reb Chaim, might have been, you know what, it isn't Yush Aveda either, but we see from Aveda that there's a kind of a Kinyan, but Maisa Gzela... Yush is accomplished by Maisa Gzela. It's a Kinyan based on the Maisa Gzela, not on Kinyan Gzela. Then that might be a little more relevant. Answer number two is, it's not even that. It's Yush is a Kinyan Amoel, Hashemahani, Bavedu Begzela. It's not directly connected to the Maisa Gzela at all. Maisa Gzela is the Mitzius of Eino Bershuso, which allows Yush to work. So what does that have to do with the rest of the Ramba, the rest of the Ravid? The answer is that What makes it that way, Lamaisa, is only the assumption that there's a Maisa Gzela. And that's what's Koveya for the difference between Kilui and Shinui.
Okay. And Rebbe feels that the Chaim is ending off when he transitions to Nezikin with
right.
the second answer, not with the first answer.
No, I mean, it works for the first answer, too. I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm just saying I don't think... Once he has the idea, I think the key point... The difference is that according to the first answer, you might say that the two dinim of the Ravid are more closely connected. Like the big drum roll here is Maisik Zela's Koveya for Yish, Maisik Zela's Koveya for the Mazik of Xela. As opposed to the second formulation may be that, you know, there are two completely different points here. Lemaisa, you need a Maisik Zela to be considered subject to Yish. And Lemaisa, you also need, that is also the foundation for Kilui. But it's not, in one case it's kind of an indirect role, in the Yush it's an indirect role, and in the Kilui it's a direct Mechayev. Okay. In any case, the Nesivus is explicit, and the Nesivus, as I mentioned before, goes one giant step further than Reb Chaim. This is a huge Chiddush, and that is that basically the Nesivus says there seems to be some evidence that you know, Yush is Kona, even though we pask in Yush Kadi, Lo Kani. So how could Yush of Avadim be Kona only by means of Yush Kadi when we don't pask in that way? Pretty strong question of the Nesivus. Question that others ask as well. So they say, oh, that sugya is Shaloki Hilchasa. Fine. Rav Haigon would be happy about it. Like Rav Haigon was the only Rishon, I think, who, or one of the Gonim and Rishonim, who paskin that Yush Kadi is really completely Kani. Okay, but it's a problem. The evidence of Yush Ba'avadim doesn't coordinate well with the Psak of Yush Kadi Lo Kani. So that's when the Sivas came up with the absolutely brilliant idea that not only is Yush Kona Ba'avadim, but it's Kona Ba'avadim Ubekarka in a way that is more effective than regular Metaltolin. Right? How could that be? The answer is because the removal of the primary obstacle to Yush being Kona and Metaltolin. What's the obstacle? Isura Asa Liyado, which we already know the Nesivus interprets. This is one of the places that we know it from. What does Isura Asa Liyado mean, Daniel? For the Nesivus, and for most, and for Tosis, and for most Rishonim, but not all. Isura Asa Liyado translates into what factor? Biva Shava. So Kiva Shava is the reason to paskin Yush Kadi Lo Kani. So ironically, if Yesh Yush Ba'avadim Ubekarka Ubishtaros, because the Kinyan Aveda and not a Kinyan Zela, so then you've also accomplished something else. And that is, you've avoided Isura Saliyada, because no Kiva Shava in Avadim, or Karka, or Shtaros, at least so the Nesivus is arguing. We know that that's not so simple, but at least according to the mainstream Rishonim, that's true. So it ends up that that these cases, which seem to be most problematic, let me contrast it with the Shach. The Shach and Simen Shin Samach Gimel Siv Katan Gimel actually paskins in Avadim Einam Biyush. Because after all, Evruk Shul Karkos, the opposite of Tosis in Bava Basra. Tosis in Bava Basra says, if Avadim Huk Shul Karkos and Avadim are Biyush, then Karkas Biyush. The Shach says the opposite. If Avadim Huk Shul Karkos and Karkas for sure not Biyush, then Avadim are not Biyush, they're in Exalim. End of story. Shach's very strong on this. Shach's very strong. It's like redundant to say that. Anything the Shach ever says, he's strong about. Shach, you know, was, you know, gave new meaning to the word decisive, I guess. So that's the Shach's view. Avadim are not subject to Yish. But according to the Nesivus, not only are they subject, and it's Midin Yish of Aveda, but actually you'll say Yish Kadi Kani, because you just don't have the obstacle of the... you don't have the normal obstacle, which is the obstacle of Ashava. Yeah, there's a question. We answered it? Yeah.
If you said this even, you could theoretically say this even the Tzad of a Chaim that it's Yesh based on the Mice not the Kinyan Exela.
Yeah, one more time.
I mean, the way the Chaim works out, you could have said this even the other possible answer that Yesh is a King Exela, but it's based on the Mice Exela, not the Kinyan Exela. And since Kiva Shah is based on the Kinyan Exela, so since I don't have Kinyan Exela, they don't have Mice Exela.
Right.
So, is a king
but you still have the Chiva Shava. I mean, because of Chiva Shava in that case.
Right.
Also. In theory, Reb Chaim never said it that way. That's separate that part. But right, I agree. You could. Again, if let me put it this way: except that there's always one problem. Again, you weren't here the first semester, but this is an issue that we repeated a couple of times then, and that is this idea that you know you get this ironic you know benefit of something which seems not to be nigzal, but that you don't have the obstacle of the hashava. You're a bit, a little bit playing with fire. Okay, why are you playing with fire? Because you might always say that just as there's no chiyuv hashava because ain't a nigzal, so too the kinyanim that may be part of this whole story are also non-existent. Right, so you get rid of the hashava as an obstacle, but at the same time, you don't have the foundation, you know, of the. So in that, the nesivus has a benefit over the answer of saying that it's a dinamais exhaler, but it isn't an exhaler. Why? Because the Nesivus's whole point is that Yish is a Kinyan Aveda. So he doesn't need Kinyan Exhale at all. You don't need Kinyan Exhale and you don't have the obstacle of Hashava, so you're free and clear. But if you were to say that on some level, Yish would be Konev through Kinyan Exhale as long as there wasn't a Hashava obstacle, and then you're going to say, well, so good, Avadim Shtaros and Karkos are going to be better than Metaltalin, that's why you're playing with fire. Understand? So that might be the other, that's like the, you know, the downside of that whole thing. Now in Shtaros, as I mentioned, you have also discussion. The problem is that, again, Shtaros are Einam, you know, Nochiv Kefel certainly, and Ein Gufo Mamon, so it seems like they're not subject to Genevo Gezela. And yet, in the Rishonim, we do talk about Yush of Shtaros in the context of the issue of mechiras chovos, right? When people talk, how can there be mechiras chovos? Now, how are you going to be kona? Question of ona'a, right? So some rishonim, Tosfos Bava Basra, discussed it a lot last year. Tosfos Bava Basra Ayin Vav and a few other places. Tosfos says no, you can have kinyan even if mechiras chovos is even if mechiras shtaros and chovos is drabanan. It's not our topic now, so don't get thrown by it. I'm just giving you some hechtimsy background. Even if Mechiras Chovos is only Drabanan, you can still talk about Ein Ona'a Doraisa. Because, what about the Kinyan of Yish? You can't sell it through Das Makne, but what about through Yish? That's what Mishonim said. So this bothered a lot of the poskim, because they said, well, what are you talking about? Ein Yish Bishtaros. Just like Ein Yush Bekarka or Avadim, what's going on there? Right. So that's the question. So the Ksos is Mechalek between Yush of Aveda and Yush of Gzela. The Ksos says basically all the Makoros that seem to say that there's Yush, Bishtaros, are all cases of Aveda. They don't have to be cases of Gzela. You can be Kona, Shtar, and the Chov that's connected with it. Through Yush of Aveda. But in Achanami, not through Yush of Gzela, because Karkin and Gzelas, and therefore Ein Yush, because Shtaros and Gzalim, and therefore Ein Yush Bishtaros. So the Ksosis view then is, it's very important, basically, to be Mechalek between Yush of Aveda and Yush of Gzela when it comes to Shtaros. But in light of the Nesivos and Reb Chaim, you might argue. You probably would argue. The Sivus, I'm sure, would argue. The Sivus would say if you know the Maisa Gzela does apply, if there's a Maisa Gzela for Shtaros and it's Avud, so then we're talking about the Yush of Aveda, not the Yush of Gzela. So Bein B'Yush Gzela, Bein B'Yush Aveda would make a difference. They'd both be Din of Yush Aveda and they would be effective. And again, undoubtedly, he could argue that if there's no chiyuv hashava, Yush Kedi, Kani, would actually work in this case, Mash Ein Kein in the other cases. Okay. Two other nafkamina I want to mention quickly. We're almost finished with this. Shol Shalomi Das and Shevach Shalgabe Gzela. Well, Shol Shalomi Das is something to look at from the other perspective. Again, so far we're analyzing Kinyan Yush, Yush Kedi, Kani. In the context of Gzela, we're comparing it to Yush of Aveda on the one hand, and we're using, to keep us honest as a control, we're constantly looking over our shoulder at Shinui. Okay. Except that, you know, it's not a perfect control, as we know, because sometimes Shinui shiny, right? You know, the physical change and so on. That's pretty much what we're evaluating as we go along. Okay. So because of that, it's just interesting to look at some of these other cases. Baruch Dov mentioned before about the Raivin in Shol Shalom Yidas, correct? So we recall from the first semester, those who were here, and those who were not, I'll just mention it very quickly. And that is that the Raivin's explanation of the Gemara in Daf Tzadi Zayin, and Reb Chaim picks up on this as well in his Chibur, is that in Shol Shalom Yidas, there's no Shinui Kona. Shol Shalom Yidas is a Gazlan, but the Kinyan of Shinui Kona doesn't apply. And why should that be? So the best explanation is because since he doesn't really intend to keep the object, he just intends to borrow it, so even though halachically Shol Shalom Yidas is a Gazlan, and he has Chiyu Be'onsin, right, but he has no intention to the Maisa Kinyan. That's what Baruch Dov mentioned in that context a few minutes ago. There's 2 days in the Raivin. Not every Rishon agrees with this. Even the Raivin has 2 days, but that's the Shitas Raivin. So the question is very simple. According to the Raivin, what would be the halacha of Yiyush in the context of Shol Shalom Yidas? You have Shol Shalom Yidas, and instead of having a Shinu, you have a Yiyush. Do you get to keep the man? So if Yush is a Kinyan Aveda, then where it works, so then certainly it should apply to Shol Shalom Yidas, no question about that. Even if Yush is a Kinyan Gzela, but a phase 2 kind of Kinyan Gzela, I think it also should work. If we were to say that Yush, if you were to interpret Tosa Samach Tesamad Aleph, not the way it sounds so much, but as that's the result, the Matana part, meaning it really is a completion of the original Kinyanik Zela. In that sense, it's like some of the Rishonim understand Shinui. Then just, if you held that Shol Shalom Yidas doesn't have Shinui Kona for that reason, then that would be a tremendous nafkamina l'halacha. You'd have to say that Shol Shalom Yidas doesn't have Yiyush Kona either. That would be very important. In similar vein, what about Shevach, what about the improvements to the Chefetz that take place from the time of the Gezela until the moment of the Kinyan. So again, if we're comparing to Shinui, we know that that's a huge issue in Shinui. That's 2 days in the Rush. And the Tos in Perek Tes Simen Gimel, and we discussed the first semester, the Gra changes the Girsa and Tosis on Tzadi Heyamad Aleph on that issue. What happens in Shinui? You have a Chayfetz. There is improvement in the Chayfetz. Right? Its value goes up for physical reasons from the time of the Gzela until the moment before the Shinui. Right? When we say Kol HaGzonim B'Sham G'shasa Gzela, so do you pay kashas, rega, achas, lefnei ha-shinui? That's what kashas ha-gzela means? Or it means literally kashas ha-gzela? Right at the moment of the gzela? Nafkamina, who is the beneficiary of the improvements that take place from the moment that you steal it until the moment of the final kinyan, the kinyan of the bed? So that's 2 days in the Rush. That's the Graz change of gear sentosis. The Rush's own psak is that actually the Gazlan is the one who benefits for the Shevach between the Gzela and the moment before the Shinu. It all goes to the Gazlan. The other Deya and maybe Tosis disagree, say no, it's the Nixos. Fine. So what about a similar question according to the Mandamar Yish Kedi Kani? Same exact Techetimtsi, Yish Kedi Kani, but there's a week between the, or a month, or 10 minutes, doesn't matter, or whatever time, there's a time lag between the Maisa Gzela and the Yiyush. T1, T2. Between T1 and T2, there's Shevach. Who gets that? So if you hold that it's a Kinyan Aveda, it seems like it's a davar pashut that the kinyanim, right, really only begin at the moment of the yish, and any improvements from the gzela until that a second before that yish takes place would certainly belong to the nigza. If yeush is a kinyan gzela, not a kinyan aveda, so then maybe it should depend. If it's a phase two kinyan, an independent kinyan, I think you would still say that. You would still say that the shevach that grows in the interim period belongs to the nigza. If we were to say that yeush also operates based on the original kinyan gzela, right, once you've neutralized the Chiyuv HaShava, then, at least according to the Rosh, you might say that the Gloy Milson Mafreya, that the Kol HaShevach, you know, Shenizgadel Benatayim, belongs to the Gazlan, just like it does in Shinui. There'd be no reason to be Mechalik necessarily between Shinui and Yeush. I think that's an important chiddush. The Nesivas, with this I end, the Nesivas in Simen, or the Chin, Nun, Gimel, Sivkatan, Gimel, I referred to it the other day. So, he talks there about the same thing that Xos talks about, there's stuff to talk about, which is whether or not, in the case of Kinyan Yiyush, or Yiyush and Shinu Rishus more particularly, is there a Shi or a Bikinyana? That you might acquire the object, might be yours to keep, but is it so obvious that you know that you have full kinyanim, that there isn't some remnant? Maybe until you do the tashlumin, at least, you know there's something missing, some deficiency in your kinyanim. That's the question. That's a question that Xos discusses, and that's a question that the Nesivas discusses as well. So Nesivas there in Simin Shinun Gimel says maybe this question depends on the two deos in Tosas on Samach Tes Amud Aleph. Very interesting. He says, after all, according to the second day of Tosas, Samach Tes Amud Aleph, so Yush of Gzela is like Hefker. Or even if it isn't exactly like Hefker, I don't know if the Nesivas means that it's like Hefker as opposed to what he says on Samach Vav Amud Aleph, meaning whatever he means by the second day of Tosas. So his point is, Kala Kodem Zacha, the Gazlan has no special yichus unless it happens to be Bershuso, meaning Gzela, meaning Yush of Gzela is like Yush of Aveda, basically. So if that's the case, he says, then there should be no Shir Bekinyan. But if we come to the conclusion, like the first day of Tosas, which is that this is a Kinyan, like a Matana from the Nigzal to the Gazlan, it's a Kinyan Gzela, so maybe there's a Shir Bekinyan too. Shir meaning Shin Yud Vav Resh, meaning something lacking, something missing. That's the Sivas' analysis. So he says, in my opinion, the question whether or not you ever have to pay in order to complete the Kinyan in terms of Lachem for Lulav, or whether it's going to be Chisaron in Mitzvah Hababa Avera, right? Or simply whether the Lokeach, let's say in Yish and Shina Rishus, whether he has to pay occasionally in order to complete the Kinyan, he has to pay the Nigzal. Is that question, in my opinion, depends on the nature of Yish, whether it's a Kinyan Gzela. He doesn't say it here, Kinyan Gzela or Kinyan Aveda, but it would work very well for the Sivas' general posture. But he does say whether it's kind of Hefker or it's a Kinyan to the Gazlan. He says these three issues may very well depend on the two days in Tosas. But in fact, I don't think it's mukhrak what he says, in the other direction. In other words, if we take the view of the second day of Tosas, which is that basically Yeush, Ba'avedo, Begzela work the same way, then I think what he's saying is very logical. There's no Shi or Bekinyan at all. If you take the first view, which is that it is a Kinyan Gzela for Goslin, so I think then very much it depends on what we've been discussing. Namely, is it a completion of the original Kinyan Gzela? Is it patterned after Shinui? In Shinui, there's no Shi or Bikinyana. Or, Is it a direct kinyan between the Nigzal and the Goslin? It's phase two. And maybe paying for it becomes important. In other words, the suffix that they have is, you have to pay if you're going to acquire the chafetz through Yehush of Gzela. But like we've explained with the Rabbeinu Peretz and the Ramban, etc., and the Tosas Rid, you have to pay because now that there's no longer Hashavas Abe'en, so the alternative, Chiyuv Tashlumin, which began at the moment of the Gzela, or it begins when you eliminate the Hashava, that's a Mechayev of Tashlumin. Or, those themselves are two different perspectives, but or is the point, now you have to pay because that's part of what it takes to complete this particular kinyan on the band. So Ksos and Asivas are both suggesting that that may be true more for Yeush than it is for Shinoi. With this nafkamina, Lachem, for Lulav, Mitzvah Bavavera, will the Lokeach ever pay? I think it works very well, according to our analysis, the different perspectives of how Yeush Kedi of Gzela works. However, that Nesivas has one big assumption. With this I conclude. The Nesivas doesn't seem to be perturbed at all about equating Yeush Vishina Rishus, according to the Mandamar Yeush Kedi Lokani, with the Mandamar who holds that Yeush Kedi would be Kani. So whatever you say for one, in other words, Tosa Sabach Tesum and Aleph is operating with Yeush Kedi Kani. And then there are 2 days in Tosas. Is Yush of Gzela like Aveda, or is it different? Fine. And then we have the analysis. The Sivas could be right or not, etc. Even within that first day of Tosas. Very interesting. But it's quite possible that no matter what you say about Yush Kedi Kani, it's different in Yush and Shina Rishos. Whether it's better or worse, I'll leave for the moment. That's what we want to pick up tomorrow. So what we want to pick up with tomorrow is, now that we've finished discussing how Yush Kedi works when it works and what its relationship is to Yush Aveda, what we want to pick up with tomorrow is, do we paskin Yush Kedi Kani or not? And if Yush Kedi Lo Kani, does it have any impact? And how do we understand the echoes of its continued effectiveness, and especially the combination with Yush and Shinui Rishos? I want to speak a little more about this last point also of the not only the Shir Badamim issue, but also the question of Shevach Shenizgadel Bein Agneva LeHayish, because that's important for the Gemara Gittin and for some of the Piskei Rambam as well. So I want to speak about that a little bit more tomorrow as well.